podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's John Gibbons for The Weekend. I hope you're well. We've got an action-packed weekend, the show for you. Coming up, obviously, we're looking ahead to Liverpool's big game on Sunday against Crystal Palace. There's also a couple of inserts of things that are going on in this beautiful city of Liverpool. So I've spoke to Fitz from Joe's Giants about a fantastic new mental health charity in Liverpool that they have set up. And also, Aaron Daniels of this parish set up a new magazine called Scally Mag, and so I was talking to him about that. But before all that, I've got Ian Ryan, Andy Heaton and James Sutton to talk about last night's big win. And it was a big win, James, wasn't it? It was much needed, obviously. We're in the business end of the season, and these are business end boys.
They are indeed business end boys doing the absolute business. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because I don't feel like I can quite celebrate any of these results, because I had such high expectations going into this season of where we'd end up. And it's not that I want to be all negative and kind of downplay it, because, top four is an achievement. Of course it is. But by the same token, expectations were running really, really high. So every time that we've sort of fallen short, it's just been another little bit, chipping away at my sort of positivity. And now we're, like you say, we're in the business end of the season. Look, points on the board, top four, it's going to be great for next season. One more to play for. There's loads and loads of positivity. I don't want to come on here and be negative. That's the last thing I want to do. But saying that, I would like us to be challenging again next season.
But the best way to win the Champions League next year is to be in it.
Is to be in it, exactly. No, look, I'm not taking anything away from the lads. It means a great deal to the club. We should be playing on the biggest stage in the world. Of course we should. But by the same token, I'm just looking at the teams above us and thinking, man, we've sat, what if a couple of injuries and we'd have been up there. But hey, like I say, there's lots to be positive about. Another great team performance last night, especially from the two centre-backs. I thought they were outstanding again last night.
In terms of getting back in there, Ian, this run of form, bodes well for that, really. And that's, how I'm looking at it, because, I'm just more an optimistic person than James. I'm thinkable. This shows that, they've still got that hunger. They've still got that consistency in them, to go week after week and positive results after positive results. And that's what they've done when it matters. And, there's one more to go and all that, but they put themselves in a great position. And they've done that themselves.
Form team in the league, John, aren't they?
Yeah.
You can't really argue with that.
Yeah, that, James.
I think, the expectation thing's interesting, because I find myself now, I'm buzzing, to be honest. I'm bouncing into the games because...
You're going Sunday, aren't
you? I'm going Sunday as well, yeah, which definitely helps.
Is that what you're wearing, yeah?
Shorts.
Yes, the button, whatever.
But you've kind of hit a low as a fan base, I think, this season, where it just seemed that top four, the league was gone kind of not long after Christmas when the injuries really kick in. We had the home form kills us. But as I've said on the shows, John, there was a time when you just think Liverpool are going to finish seventh or eighth here. That's what's on the horizon.
Oh, which was the low then? What was your worst?
I mean, the derby wasn't great, was it?
No,
that was a bad one. But there's others. I mean, Fulham felt like, I think I might have hosted the post-match pint after that, and that took some picking up there after Fulham. And I think, even people like Stu Wright and Damien, who were on that show with me, notoriously positive guys. You could tell it was doom and gloom, and you're thinking, well, you've almost got to park it and just go again next season. And then somehow, and it's probably a combination of teams above have dropped points. We know that, but take nothing away from Liverpool, they've galvanised themselves here. The manager, the players, probably even the backroom staff. Everyone's probably needed a little bit of lift, and it looks like they've come together and somehow they've been able to get themselves back into a position where now the manager can just, ahead of the game on Sunday, he can talk to the players and say, put a line through everything else. All those bad defeats, those six at home at Anfield, it means nothing. The only thing that matters now is beating Palace on Sunday, and I think that'll be the message.
It wasn't plain sailing last night, Andy. There was sort of a few hiccups, but they get the 3-0, and we get that by being clinical when we need to be. There's a few sort of missed chances early on, but they put them away in the end. And, it's a sign of a good team, isn't it? That, you're making the most of opportunities when you're on top. We had to hang on a little bit at times as well, but that's why your defenders are there, and the defenders defend as well. The guys, took the chances in the end, and it's a good 3-0 win away from home.
Yeah, first 15 minutes aside, where I think that we felt under it a little bit panicky, but yeah. I think Liverpool got to grips with them fairly well, and that goes for, I mean, loads of talk about that. Phillips, I thought Reece Williams, again, adapted quite well. And, Yeah, it's one of the Liverpool's big problems, I think, sometimes, and I'm happy to be wrong, is that we've tried to be too precise in our finishing and our execution.
Yeah,
trying to find corners. Whereas last night it was just a case of get it on target and see
where we are. It's a good shout, Andy, because the Firmino one at the weekend, where he hits the post, but then you look it back and you're like, you've got so much goal, and then this time he just hard and low, boom, it's in the back of the net.
Yeah, hard and low was the other side last night. Hard and low. But just trying to stop. Because what happens if you miss one early on, it can get in your head and then you start snatching. Whereas, in case of if you get it on target, make the keeper make a save, you can go again. And they visibly relaxed. I watched it again last night because I couldn't sleep. And we were a lot more comfortable after 1-0 than what it felt.
Yeah.
They never looked like they were massively in danger. And they relaxed into it. And the second and third, as a result, were the kind of goals that Liverpool would have scored last season. So, you're fair play to me. If you want to set, look. I think that the chat around Liverpool was 4 games ago. Do you think Liverpool can get in the Champions League? Yes. Do you think they will? No. Because the big question was, will they win the four in front of them? And I don't want to take anything for granted on Sunday, but we put ourselves in a great position considering the messes that we've consistently got ourselves into when we think we've seen a chink of light only to lose to fucking Fulham or whatever. So yeah, no, encouraging, but let's just get the job done, not get too excited and see where we are on Monday.
Yeah, you talked about the centre-halves a little bit before, James, and they've done so well, haven't they? And Nat Phillips gets the plaudits, you know, and why not? You know, it's the goal and the one off the line. But to be fair to Reece Williams, like, I thought he'd never play for Liverpool again, I'll be honest with you. Do you know when it got to that point where he was, because he was in and he was doing okay, and he had that, you know, he's played a remarkable number of Champions League games this year, Reece Williams. But once he was sort of out the team after a couple of bad performances, I thought that's probably it for him, and that's a bit of a shame. But he's come back in, and there's still the mistakes are there, but he manages to recover. You know, he's hanging in games, isn't he? And you know, another clean sheet for him.
It's unequivocal what a talented young footballer he is. But unfortunately, the sort of game management and the mental side of it, he just hasn't got the experience yet to deal with some of the situations that he's coming up against. You know, the ball's over the top and stuff. You know, so a lot of that's about positioning. Mm. You know, so then you're relying a lot on the players around him, which again, you know, fantastic from everyone around him last night. Fabinho last night doesn't stop shouting,
yeah,
you know, the whole way through the game. And that's what, you know, if you're going to have a player like that in your team who is undoubtedly, you know, an incredible young talent, potentially, you know, thrown in a bit too early, I think, for his development. I think once going into next season, I think, you know, he relaxed that a bit and he gets, you know, more cup games and stuff. But yeah, last night and for the few games as well that he's played recently, you know, everybody helping out and going, no, we're going to support this young lad. We're not just going to leave him isolated, because if he makes because if there's a mistake and he, you know, and he's culpable for it, you know, all the media, all the fan base is suddenly on this young player. So you've got a huge responsibility across the team to protect him and look after him and make sure that he's in the right place. He's got his head up. He knows exactly where his pass is, because that's another thing as well. You know, with this Liverpool team going forward, you know, you've got to get your head up and you've got to get the pass out quickly. You know, and that requires not just sort of speed of thought, but also, you know, a positional awareness. And I think a lot of that comes down to the players around him and the sort of commitment and that they offer him. So it's lovely to see. And I think, you know, he can be incredibly proud, you know, of what he's accomplished this season under, you know, fucking awful circumstances.
Yeah, we had a bit of a chat before the game about what to do. You know, around centre back, whether it's to drop Fabinho back there or what. You know, obviously the manager makes a decision to keep the inexperienced lads there, and he's rewarded with a 3-0 win. What we all know, Ian, is the value of Fabinho in midfield, and not just Fabinho, but a Fabinho Thiago axis, which is really just started to look a lovely little combination. They're enjoying each other, Ian, and I'm certainly enjoying watching them.
Yeah, I think you're right to kind of frame it like that, Gibbo, because the manager had to wrestle with that decision, and I think it wouldn't have just been a football thing. He would have had to think about, you know, kind of the welfare of the players in terms of, you know, a Reece Williams having to go again. He's never done it before. You know, can he go again on Sunday and have, like, you know, 4 games in 10 days, for instance? He's going to have to weigh it up. I would suggest that's what he'll want to do, given the last kind of 3 games. But in terms of Fabinho Thiago, yeah, they complement each other really well. I thought actually Fabinho had a weird first half because he got caught a couple of times on the ball. And, you know, that, you know, he wasn't his usual kind of self in terms of protecting that back four, actually giving away in really poor areas where they were able to spring on the back four. But he kind of sorts himself out. And in Thiago, we talked about it on Monday, Jesus Christ. I mean, he is one hell of a footballer. And I think, you know, you've got some really, really good things to come with Thiago. But you're getting a glimpse of it now that he's got a little bit of stability around him and he's got a partner next to him more often than not in Fabinho, who can do a lot of his kind of dirty work, if you like. Not that Thiago's not capable of doing some of that, but I think you've seen early in his career when he's chopping and changing a little bit with the team, there are weaknesses to his game, but there's far more pros to his game. And you saw that last night. It was almost a case of just give the ball to Thiago and he'll look after it for you. And we talked on Monday, Gibb, about patience and having that as an attribute. He's got tons of attributes, but patience is a key one, where he will just look after a ball, he picks his passes at the right time, and you know that comes with experience. He knows who to give the ball to and when to give the ball. And I think you're starting to see the forward players now just spring into action a little bit more when the ball goes to Thiago. They know if they make the right run and the right move, 9 times out of 10 he's going to find you. But you know, as it was mentioned on commentary last night, you know, he was never brought in to score goals or be, you know, the assist maker. Maybe it's the pass before the pass, and he's absolutely got that in his locker, but he just controls football matches, or he's got the ability to control football matches. And during this period of time where it was going to get a little bit tasty, a little bit heated, a little bit pressurised, there's not many other footballers who's won on that team than Thiago in the middle of the park.
Yeah, his turn away from other midfielders is a real sort of asset. And you know, I didn't really clock it, but like you, watched sort of extended highlights when I got in, Andy, and you know, just his ability to move away from a pressing man is sort of unrivaled. And I don't know, I was
Ryan-esque. You might say, John.
I never did rate gigs, you know.
I was having a look last night, seeing what odds he was for player of the year next season. I'll be honest with you, there's no open market yet that I could find, unfortunately. But that's where I got with my Thiago love last night. Where did you get?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, where's this going to go?
Yeah, no, he looks like he's coming into his own a little bit. I think it's last night on the post match on the ping that we're adapting to him, and then I've thought about it more. I think he's adapting to the league as well. I think there was a run of games where he was getting picking up yellows within the first 10 minutes of every game, and it was almost like what minute in the first 10 is he going to get it? But what surprised me is his strength, and he's got this low centre of gravity where he can kind of shield the ball but still move it in the direction, and also almost manipulate the opposition into, like, he's almost inviting the challenge so he can spin away. And he carries it better than what I thought as well. So it's mad when you sign these players who've got a profile because you think you know what they do, and then when you see them in the flesh and you see what they're actually about. Yeah. And I think between him and Fabinho, to be fair, and I agree with Ian about Fabinho's first half, they gave a level of assurance outside the mad panics that we tend to have in defence, which are totally self-inflicted. You bring a calm and a confidence, and I think that's reflected in the football that's turning me more grey as the weeks go by, when we're knocking it round our own penalty area and inviting the opposition on, and they're allowing that and no one's seeming to panic. And I think that's the byproduct of it. But I'm with you. If you get anything over 10-1, give us a shout. I'm bang into it. All I can say is, see these McNulty, these are fucking you.
Is right. It's funny, isn't it, James? Because I don't know who he spoke to about the Premier League, but but someone said to him, "Oh, you just love tackling and kicking people." He's like, "Oh, right, Sam, I'll do that." And then he's realised, "Hang on, I'll just be better than everyone else instead."
Yeah, I don't know if do people still have that opinion of us on the continent, that this is just a league of like just groks kicking lumps out of each other? Because yeah, it was funny when he first started, because Ian's right. There was yellow cards, there was tackles all over the place. That were a little bit late, snapping into challenges. But he's fucking hard, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's hard. I love him, and again, he's right. Again, getting the ball off him, it's like, you know, it's like a young Jan Molby. You ain't getting close to this fella.
As an actor, James, what do you think of his expressive face? I find he's got a very expressive face.
There's something slightly menacing about him, but also he's got like a menacing charm. You know, there's something you can imagine him. You know, he'd take you for a nice gin and tonic, and then he'd just put a knife in your
like
back.
A Bond bag, like a bad guy in Bond film.
Yeah, like a Bond villain. Yeah, he's definitely got that in his locker as well.
Yeah, there we are.
Change of pace, you weren't expecting.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he's looking for a career change, hopefully in a few more years, that's an option open for him. Nice to get 3 goals without Mo as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, again, a little bit of a strange kind of night for Mo. I think he was, I don't know whether he had the kind of golden boot thing in his mind a little bit. He snatched at a couple of things. You know, you see the chance early on where it gets blocked. I think Mo comes across and blocks it, but it's not a great connection. It was a strange first half, really, Gibbo, because I think, know, I didn't really agree with Carragher's comment about Burnley being the kind of better team. I thought that was stretching it a little bit, to be honest. I don't think Liverpool were particularly great, and there is the shaky moments with the back four early on. You know, the ball over Williams was a problem, but we still created loads of chances. And I was kind of, before the game, I was, you know, what Andy was saying before, just test the keeper, test him early on. You know, whether it's corners and you're kind of dropping it under the bar, or whether you're getting shots off around the box just to see what the keeper's made of, because he's Burnley's number three, so you're not expecting anything great. Mm-hmm. I know there was a narrative of this goalie's going to come in and play fantastic and kind of, you know, turn one of those performances in that you're thinking, Christ, where's that come from? But I just wanted to see us test him a little bit more. And as you see with the Firmino one, it's not a particularly great connection or a great finish. Not in the corner, but the keeper can't deal with it. And he kind of pushes it into the corner. And, you know, Mane has that chance as well. So despite Liverpool looking off it and a slow start, they create three or four really good chances where, you know, they could have had the game kind of dead and buried. I know Burnley get one or two as well. And there's the Chris Wood one, like I mentioned before, when he's through on goal and he should do better. But it was still it was always going to be a game, I think, where it ends up being 3-0, but you never felt it was going to be one of those games where it was going to be easy from the off, because this Liverpool team's got a habit of putting you through the mill a little bit. And that's what happened. But then, you know, they do take control and, you know, they're deserving winners in the end.
Yeah, deserving winners. And, I mean, it puts us in a really good position. Now we're going to go on and talk about the Palace one. But, you know, you wanted to see us in that fourth place, Andy. And that's, you know, it's felt like we're chasing for a while, and you can talk about games in hand, and you could talk about, oh well, they've got to do this, or they've got to play each other, but there's nothing like seeing yourself in that position, and there's nothing like everyone else seeing us in that position as well.
It must be debilitating as well, especially for Evertonians as ever. just to see Liverpool have that, and, you know, being on the march, especially when, you know, every time we do, as I said earlier, we've managed to put one or two together, we've seemed to drop the ball a little bit, and that it's ours, and we've got to hold it. I think it's safe to say with the goal difference now, he says before Leicester beat Spurs 8-0 in a couple of days. So I think, I've got a theory, I think Mo deliberately didn't score to fire Kane up to make the golden boot safe for Harry Kane on Sunday.
He's doing a double diddle.
And look, let's not paint it any other way. If we do manage to get past Palace, look, we should bookmark his odds to reflect that, but you never know in football. It will feel, in the context of the season, as good as some of the biggest results in our history. If you take the season over the whole piece, considering the positions we've got ourselves in, I was more confident of beating Barcelona at 3-0 down going into the game than I was a couple of weeks ago us finishing top four. And if they do that, it's a massive achievement. Let's look at Palace. Ideally, and I don't want to put the mockers on it, I think they've got about 9 players in the last year of contract there who won't play for them again. Won't want to put themselves at risk of injury. You know, Hodgson's had his little swan song there the other day at Celeste. All right, it's his last game. Let's just not give them any reason for hope. Let's just get at them. My only worry is that Trent looked like he was carrying a knock in the last 10 minutes of the game last night. And I'm just hoping that he's fit, because he's so integral and has been so integral to what we've done in the last couple of weeks. It's immeasurable. And also, I think their biggest threat, and I don't know whether he's fit or not, is if Zaha. Zaha's one of those players where he never hits big numbers, but he always looks a threat against us.
Yeah.
And that's something that's my major concern with it.
Yeah, no, some good shouts in there. Nice little mention for Chamberlain as well. You know, he's a nice fella, isn't he? And he was a popular goal scorer. He's had a nice month. Announced the pregnancy. Well, his missus has announced the pregnancy, and then coming off it's a nice finish, to be fair, yeah, James. And, you know, you could see, you know, after the game, you know, everyone going up to him congratulating him. He's obviously a popular boy.
He's really well liked, and, you know, and his attitude's been impeccable throughout. You know, he's had such a difficult time of it, you know, in a Liverpool shirt. I mean, the injuries, was it a knee injury, I think, was it a knee?
I think he's had knees.
He's had all kinds. Yeah. But, you know, the manager's always backed him and always given him those opportunities and always given him, even if it's just, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes at the end of a game. You know, he's a very, very talented boy. He's still got years to give. It's whether or not he can force, you know, going at looking ahead to next season, it's whether or not he can force his way into the starting 11. Because that's ultimately, you know, where he wants to play. You know, he didn't come here to be a squad player. He wants to be in the starting 11, and it's whether or not he can push on. But, you know, if he can stay injury free, keep banging in goals like that, I mean, it's a lovely bit of skill. You know, he turns two defenders inside out and you know, a nice low left-footed finish. It's lovely to see. But yeah, he needs to do that on a more consistent basis, and he needs to stay fit. And if he can do those two, then you know he's definitely got another couple of seasons at the top in him, I reckon.
Do you think he'll be a number nine, Ian?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because he obviously comes on and does well last night, and I think people have latched onto the Wolves cameo as well, where he comes on and does well. James is right, Gibbo. I mean, we can have all the conversations about Oxlade-Chamberlain, what he may or may not be able to do, but he's got to keep himself fit, and he'll know that as well. And listen, it's not a player's fault when they're having these injuries. We know they don't want to be injured, but that's what's got to be in the back of Jürgen's head. I think he's going to have to make a decision on Chamberlain and Keita. I don't think he can carry two next season, so I think he's going to have to decide. And he may decide that, listen, he can't trust either of them, and he needs to kind of shift them. But that won't be easy in itself. We know getting rid of players might not be easy this summer, and then you've got to go and replace them. So I suspect he might make a call on one of them. And I think at the minute, you know, take talent aside for a second. I think everyone knows Naby Keita is also talented, as is Chamberlain. But I think in terms of what you might get out of the players, maybe he's thinking Chamberlain might give him a little bit more because there's more chance of him maybe being fit. He has got maybe more of a goal threat as well than Naby, so it'll be interesting. But you'd love to see him back, John, because you think back to 17-18 and you think back to, you know, the game at City in the Champions League where he's making those bursting runs through, yeah. The goals against City as well. He's got that ability where he can pick up the ball in those little pockets, and he has got the ability to get a shot off from 25-30 yards. He has got a pace and power about him. It's just about keeping the lad fit. We've had these conversations so many times now to the point where you kind of bore yourself with it. But that is the thing with Chamberlain, getting him on the pitch, because we know when he's out there, he has got something to offer.
Yeah, we shall see. Okay, we'll leave it there. So I've got a couple of inserts here for you now, which I've done, and then we'll be all back in the room looking ahead to Sunday's game. So stick with us up the Reds.
It's John Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap for the weekend. And something we were conscious of last week was Mental Health Awareness Week. And obviously we've tried to do a lot on the topic over the years and signposting organisations and signposting things going on that might help people. That might help people who may be struggling a little bit or just want to explore new avenues to improve the mental health. And a couple of people who've set up an organisation just like that. It's Joe's Giants, and Fitz from Joe's Giants is joining us now. So, Fitz, welcome to the Anfield Wrap.
Hiya, mate. How you doing? Good to have you. Well, thanks. Good for you to have me, should I say.
Well, good for us to join each other on Zoom, which is unfortunately still the way of the world. But I know you're getting out there at the moment and you're doing things. Yeah. So if you can let everyone know a little bit more about Joe's Giants, if you don't mind.
So Joe's Giants was effectively founded on the loss of my true friend, best friend, so after he left over the years, obviously I was in my own crater. And then I always wanted to do something. I always wanted to do something so big. Like celebrating his anniversary and his birthday, I just felt like I wasn't doing enough.
Yeah.
So we've basically set up a foundation within his name for suicide prevention to stop people ever getting to that point. We're giving people someone to be there for them. We're effectively making a mental health community or a society of people who have people to turn to. We take people out in the mountains. We teach people that if you can get to the peak of a mountain, you can get to the peak of a problem. And we teach them that struggle of uphill is the same as a problem, and that if you can get over that and you can push them barriers when you have a problem in everyday life, you can surface that, basically.
Yeah, and that's just the sort of sets you apart, really, isn't it? I mean, mutual friend put us together and I was looking into you guys, and it's a really nice sort of angle on it, really, because there's a few different organisations. You know, we're lucky to have some great ones in this area looking to sort of, you know, to help people and sort of men in particular. But for you guys, taking people out on the hills and giving them that experience, you must see sort of some great changes in people when they experience that.
Yeah, definitely. And I do believe that's the prize of what I do, really. Some people say, what do you get from this? But I get to see people glow. I get to see people, you know, come out the comfort zone. I get to watch them push boundaries. Like one week they could struggle and a few weeks later they could absolutely nail it. And just to see that that push out someone and that elevation, it's really, really pleasing. And yeah.
It's as much about sort of togetherness as anything else as well, because, you know, I think the last year's so been so isolating for so many of us, but I think a lot of people do live in isolation anyway, and you sort of forget that, really. And, you know, going on these walks, it's I guess, as much as being out there with each other and being out there in a group and just being able to talk about things if you want to or not, and just enjoy the kind of the great outdoors that we have on our doorstep.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And we also follow the motto that you don't have to speak, and that's something that that really, really helps people. It doesn't, you know, some people find it hard to reach out, but we create the element that it's not a force of reaching out. And yes, it gives people to bond with. A lot of people want to share time in the Lake District, but half of them, they don't know where to go or how to make the most out of the time there. So when they come through us, they learn about places, and then it gives them that opportunity to then take people who are closer to them, who are in the same sort of struggle, and they can show them what we've shown them. So it's just a constant, what's the word? It's a constant giving, you know. It just keeps on giving, basically.
So if anyone's listening to this and thinking, do you know what, this sounds good to me, I love walking, or I've not been, but I'd like to give it a go. As you say, the lakes looks lovely on Instagram, but it's a big old place. I don't know where to start. How do they get in touch with you? How do they get involved in your events?
So we're on all social medias, as anyone should be if they do anything. Also, it's a free mental health service. We do not charge, because I do believe that to pay for your mental health, I believe it is a little bit wrong. You shouldn't have to pay to feel good. So our services are completely free. We do all genders, should I say, because there's a fair few of them now. We primarily work with over 18s, unless a guardian is provided with them. But over time, we want to work with under 18s as well. It's basically for anyone and everyone who wants to join us and wants to get out there.
So what kind of things have you got planned coming up?
So on the weekend we have planned hikes on the Saturdays. So we've got Fleetwith Pike this weekend. Brilliant. It's actually Joe's anniversary tomorrow, so I've got his dad joining us on Saturday to live, you know, just to do something for his anniversary, basically. And then we have private one-to-one sessions or group sessions if people didn't feel like they wanted to join in with a big group. Because personally, when I was in my own struggle, I don't think I could have jumped in with a massive group. I would have found it a bit anxious towards it. So that's why we offer these sort of sessions as well. And we do calendars ahead of every month, so we let people know what's going on the Saturdays. So anything that they really want to do or they've heard of, like we've just done Blencathra, and someone jumped on who he had something bought for him 2 years ago. It was a picture of Blencathra, and he'd always wanted to do it, and then we gave him the opportunity on the weekend. And what we're going to do is we're going to get him a picture printed off of him on Blencathra, and we want to get that put up next to the photo of Blencathra that he's had for so long. But we've always got stuff coming up constantly, so if you just keep an eye on the social media, basically.
Yeah, we'll share it on our social media as well, Joe Giants. It's great what you're doing, and just encouraging people to be outside as much as anything, because I know that's something that helps me. You know, the more outside I am, and the more I'm doing and more active I am, the sort of better I feel, both physically and mentally, and getting together. And as you say, not necessarily forcing the idea of talking to people, but people knowing that the options there is sometimes enough, isn't it?
It is, and sometimes people don't want to open up, and it's completely understandable. But what we find with what we do is when they get to know you, it's not like they feel like they're opening up. They're just talking to you as a friend, you know, just as you're walking and talking. That is one of the big things in mental health now. Walking and talking has come in rather than sitting in a room and speaking to a consultant. So it's everything in one. It's physical, it's mental, it's so good, honestly. It's amazing.
It's a boss thing what you're doing, and well in for setting it up, and it must feel like you're doing something great for your friend and you in your friend's memory as well, and the people you're helping, and you know, that must give you sort of a great deal of satisfaction as well. So nice one. Thanks for coming on, Fitz. It's nice to meet you. We'll try and do something over the summer. We're going to try and get out, aren't we, and maybe do a bit of a video and get that on our YouTube as well, so people can see really what it's about, and also people around the world can see what a beautiful area the northwest of England is. So that'll be fantastic too. But in the meantime, it's Joe's Giant on all the social, but nice one, Fitz. Appreciate your time.
Been an absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you.
And it is a little insert, and it's courtesy of Audio Boom, who we host with, and it's promoting LinkedIn Talent Solutions. Now, we've done these once or twice before, and I've talked about how we've used LinkedIn Jobs Platform to employ people, and I talk specifically about how we found Michael through LinkedIn Jobs. So today, I've roped Michael in. I've dragged him downstairs to the studio for, why talk about Michael when you can have Michael itself? So, Michael, hiya.
Hello, everyone. Lovely to make my debut in this way.
I know, yeah, talking about, like, not the Reds, but LinkedIn Jobs. But hey, this is how we found you. So we made the decision when we needed a new employee, and it was around social media, a position, although what you've ended up doing is slightly different to use LinkedIn Jobs. And we found you.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of 5 months, I've been reminded. Still haven't passed my probation yet, which I got too ahead of myself on. But yeah, LinkedIn, I've been using it for years, and it's a platform that I've always thought as a place where I could upload my content and show and use my skills, essentially upload my skills on there and use that as a base then, as a like a virtual CV. So when the likes of the Anfield Rap come knocking and they're looking for a job role, then it's the time to push on and get connecting and use connections like Craig Cannon, which I happen to jump into his DMs on LinkedIn. And yeah, have a quick convo over that.
So. Yeah, I mean, it was great for us because obviously we could have asked around and things like that, but we would have been unlikely to find you because we weren't necessarily in the same networks. You were obviously working out in Spain at that time, so we wouldn't have come across you realistically if we hadn't sort of used something like this, which is a professional network and also international. So it's worked out great for everyone, and obviously we're all delighted with Michael. But, you know, 1 month to go on his probation, so you know, we're not getting
very important.
Sort of too carried away. So yeah, if you think you're looking for people to hire and you want someone for your company as excellent as Michael is, just go to linkedin.com/rap. That's linkedin.com/rap. And yeah, get going today. Get finding your people, get filling your positions. It's an active community of more than 30 million members just in the UK. They haven't included Spain in that. Sorry, Mick. Getting started is easy, and lots of features help you to find qualified candidates, post of a job, targeting screening questions. You can manage a job post and contact candidates directly, and you can all do all this from your mobile device as well. So LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. Michael, any regrets?
No, none whatsoever.
He had to think. And have you met Craig? LinkedIn Jobs, nice one. And it's John Gibbons for the weekend. I'm delighted to be joined over Zoom by Aaron Daniels, who fans of the website will know the name of because he's written a few things for us, but has now got all cocky, had a couple of things published with the Anfield Rap, and launched your own magazine. Aaron, Scally Mag, tell us all about it.
I've gone above myself there. Scally Magazine. So it's just it was born out of my own personal interest in writing, but not having, you know, the time to pursue it full time because I work full time outside of that. And I know a lot of people are probably in the same boat. So it's a space really online for anyone to contribute and share their thoughts, opinions, or ideas on anything that they're interested in, really.
Where did you think the gap was, mate? Because obviously there's publications that exist in the city to talk about sort of what's going on, kind of more things. Where did you think that Scally might could be a bit different?
It's an interesting question. And to be honest, John, I actually didn't even think of that, in all honesty. It just sort of happened organically. And I'm aware that, like, a lot of different magazines have, you know, themes, or, you know, one talks about music and one will talk about whatever. And I just thought, well, let's just talk about anything, eh? Let's just, you know, let's have a chat about whatever. So as long as you're not coming to incite hatred or anything like that, you're more than welcome to come on and, you know, have an article published online.
Yeah, it's up and running. People can check it out. Is there anything in particular that you're proud of so far that's been on there, either that you've done or other people have submitted?
There's a couple. So there was a young lad called Steve Killen. He wrote a piece about the Business Houses Premier League, which is local Sunday League footy.
Yeah.
And he sort of explains why he thinks it's the best in the UK. And
it wasn't Kev Walsh, was it? Because he's always banging on.
And then, funnily enough, the Campfield, who were a team who play in that league, went on to win the Sunday FA Cup last Sunday, which, for anyone who doesn't know, the Sunday FA Cup is the most prestigious amateur footy trophy that you can win. And it happens nationally, so that sort of backed up his thesis really in his article. So that was good.
Yeah. And anything else people should have a look out for?
So I've spoken to a lady called the Scout Scientist, Holly Ellis, her name is, and she went to Oxford Uni, studied genomics and science, and she's launching a YouTube channel, which aims to sort of break down the barriers around, you know, the stereotypes around in science and having to be a certain way if you want to be a scientist, when really you can just be a scally and be a scientist if you like. So that'll be interesting. That's out today, actually.
Fantastic. I noticed something you wrote, I think it's a few days ago now, on representation as well. And it's obviously something that's very apparent at the moment, because Liverpool has just, I was just going to say Liverpool have just elected our first black female mayor, but she's the first black female mayor sort of in the country. Was representation generally something that you were interested in sort of focusing on as well, and making sure that maybe people who don't necessarily have a voice could have one?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, so representation for me is something that I'm interested in personally, being a black person and being a black scouter. So it was great to see Joanne Anderson get elected, and all the history that Liverpool has as well sort of makes that even more interesting, I suppose. So yeah, that's definitely something that was at the forefront of my mind, I suppose. And yeah, just giving people of all different walks of life a chance to just have their say really online.
So what's your sort of ambitions for it, if that's not too sort of grand a word, really? I mean, you've just sort of started out, and you know, I'm asking you about world domination, but have you got a place that you'd like to sort of get with it, you know, maybe a number of writers, you know, have you got any sort of, you know, thoughts in your mind about where you'd like to take it?
I haven't, to be fair, but I would say it'd be nice for it to, you know, keep growing, and have, you know, regular contributors maybe in the future, and just have loads of different people get involved, really. Those are my sort of embryonic ambitions, if you like. And in the future, who knows, I might sell a million copies, mate, if it ever goes to print. I might not, I probably won't. But yeah, that's what I'd say for that.
So if people sort of want to get involved, either by writing or just are more interested in kind of what you guys are doing, million-dollar advertisers perhaps as well, how can they get in touch?
So we're on Twitter, it's at Scally Magazine, and you can send us a DM, and, you know, we can discuss if you ever want to get involved and stuff like that. And the website is scallymag.co.uk.
Great. So best of luck with it. It's nice to see you sort of do it. Nice to see anyone doing something in the city that's a little bit different. I think the website looks phenomenal as well. So great to sort of, you know, whoever was who put that together. And I hope you've still got time to write for us, mate. That's what we're...
Yeah, tell Josh I'll be in touch soon, mate.
Top man. Well, nice to see you, Aaron, and well in. And it's, as I say, it's scallymag.co.uk if people want to check it out. Or it's at Scally Magazine on Twitter, and obviously across social media as well. So Aaron, nice one for coming on. And oh yeah, the Red as well, we're going to do it, aren't we?
Flying, mate, yeah, flying last night. I was a para going into that game, to be fair, but Big Nat Phillips and his cannonball head came to the rest. So yeah, roll on Sunday.
Roll on Sunday, indeed. Nice one, Aaron. Cheers, and enjoy the rest of your day. And we're back in the studio, which is a nice sentence to say. I'm still with James Sutton, with Ian Ryan, and with Andy Heaton, sorry, and to look ahead to Crystal Palace on Sunday. And in terms of team selection, then, Ian, I mean, he's not got loads of options. Do you think he'll just go ask the lads to go again?
I think he might do, John, yeah. I think Jürgen alluded to that as well, both kind of pre-match and post-match. That's a case of wrapping these lads up in cotton wool now and asking them to go again. I think, you know, it's the last game. I don't think you'll want to change too much. There was rumours maybe of Jota having a small chance of being available, but if he is, I think it's going to be from the bench. Although, my God, Liverpool could do with someone up front other than Mohamed Salah, who can put the ball in the back of the net. And I say that knowing Firmino scored during the night, but I think, you know, one of the themes of the season has been, you know, the likes of Firmino and Mane have not really chipped in with enough goals, or they've been poor in front of goal at times. But yeah, I do see him going with the same lads. And I think in terms of Palace as well, you know, we touched on it off air slightly about maybe the danger of someone like Zahar. They are missing Eze, who I think has been pretty good this season. You know,
it's a nasty injury.
He's a bad injury. Yeah, he's out till kind of next year, isn't he, with the Achilles injury. But there's two players in that squad who kind of maybe make you worry, because they get you up the pitch really quick, and it's Zaha and Eze, because they can carry the ball a number of yards, and then the counter attacks on. So not having him is a huge bonus for the Reds going into Sunday's game.
Yeah, I guess the only one who you might be have a bit of a tempter on is Milner. Obviously Curtis Jones starts recently as well, so he's got a couple of options, but do you imagine he'll go the same, Andy, or do you think he'll have a bit of a Millie temptation?
No, I think it's after the performance of the day, I think you just go again with what you've got. It could be Wijnaldum's swan song as well, for Liverpool. So, you know, and we're not in the territory where we can give people minutes because they deserve it. I think we saw that with Adam Lallana last year towards the end of the season when we could have brought him on and didn't want to knack at him. No, I'd go again, as I said earlier. I think the only, I keep saying that, I apologise, is the Trent thing. I think you literally just go with what you had the other day. If Jota's not fully fit, what's the point in slinging him in and potentially jeopardising his Euros? Because if he's slightly fit, you'd expect... If he's got a small chance of making it for Liverpool, you'd expect he'd be fit enough for the Euros for Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want to put him in a position unless he's really needed to be called upon for that. So, no, I'd go with what you've got and then see what Palace can bring, injuries notwithstanding. On Palace, you know, I mean, we'll get into that in a bit, but... I'll say the same as what I said yesterday, but my main fear is a worldie from their goalie and Guaita has had a fantastic season. But no, for Liverpool, let's just go again and wipe the floor with them.
I've got a wild card for you, James.
Come on then.
Ben Davis.
Oh, Jesus.
Signed in January, not been seen yet. I don't know where last game of the season.
It's a mad old game to throw him in. It's why we're not in charge. No, I agree with everything that's been said. I don't think you change anything particularly. Excuse me. Injuries and knocks aside, you know, it's there's no motivation needed. You know, it speaks for itself. What's at stake? What's, you know, what the reward for, you know, another good performance is? Yeah, maybe no. I'm not even going to suggest anything. There's nothing I can suggest team wise. We go with the same starting 11, and that's it.
10,000 fans in, Ian, including yourself, Ian Ryan, and 9,999 others going to be in there. The question is, can you find your Roy Hodgson T-shirt, or have you got to buy another one? You know, is it still about?
Christ, I mean, what are you supposed to say to that? I mean, there's been a lot of Roy Hodgson chats, hasn't there, before the game. I think, did he get a Guard of Honour the other day?
He got something happened.
There'll be none of that shit. Yeah. There'll be none of that shit going on. I'll be disappointed. I mean, listen, people will have different views on this, but you know, I'm pretty scarred by the time he was at Liverpool Football Club, to be honest. And listen, he's gone on and done different things, and I know players will speak highly of him. You know, ex Liverpool players. You know, I think Carragher and Gerrard have both said decent things about him. You know, Danny Murphy, if you want to pay attention to what he says, loves him. But as fans, as a fan base, Gibbo, it's really difficult because he came in and he made a lot of mistakes and he said a lot of things he shouldn't. And he was never right for the job, let's be honest. He never should have got it. He wasn't. No, you had a conversation the other day, I think, on AFQ Football about what you need to have to be the manager of this football club. And you've kind of got that in the current manager. You know exactly what it takes in terms of personality, character, you know, notwithstanding ability as well. But if you look at Roy Hodgson, he's not really got any of those things, with the greatest respect, and he never should have got the job, but he did. But it ended badly. It was a really, really poor 6 months for the club, and he's gone on and had a decent time at Palace as well. And I think clubs like Fulham and Palace, the fans seem to like Hodgson, and he's done okay for them. And it's his last game. You just hope there's no spoilers in the pipeline and stuff, because that'd be quite the blow. I think the other thing to think about when you talk about Palace is maybe Benteke seems to have found this form the last five or six games, and he scores again against Arsenal, but he's on the back, I think, of three other goals prior to that, so he's looking useful on the back of a spell where he couldn't hit a fucking cow's arse, you know what I mean? He was all over the place, wasn't he? He was just looking like a footballer who was like biding his time, and he was going to go elsewhere. There was talk of him kind of dropping down kind of to other divisions and going to kind of back maybe to Belgium or somewhere. So he suddenly found form.
He's a bit of an injury doubt, so let's hope that...
Yeah, we have got big
I was going to say, he hasn't come up against Big Nat, has he?
Maybe just felt his groin. To one look at Big Nat and felt his groin. And he could play.
I mean, haven't we all?
Was that photo that came out after the game the other last night with Thiago and Nat Phillips? It looked like sort of lads v dads thing. He's like a giant next to him.
Yeah, no, it is good. Just on the Hodgson thing, you know, I don't sort of see any reason for any nastiness or anything Sunday. He's not on my radar at all. And I guess I'm talking about him, so he is. But I find this: will he get a good reception? Will he get a bad reception? I'm like, we've got a game to win. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he's not even retiring, is he? He's just going to do something else, something mad. So he's just leaving Crystal Palace. We've got a game to win. He's irrelevant.
Well, Roy will be pleased with him, willing to put everything behind us, both close the chapter on it. No, you know what, you're spot on. We've got bigger fish to fry. We've just got a job to do, and he's an irrelevance. And any attention that we take off our own performance and focus on Crystal Palace, it can't really do us any favours. And you know what, to be honest, I'm ready to just kind of close the book on it. It didn't work out. It was a toxic time. But you know what? We've moved on. We've won a European Cup. We've won the league. No,
it's essentially his last game as a management. I'd give him a round of applause. I don't think
I wouldn't go that far. Fucking hell!
A little clap when he leaves. When we've just beaten him 4-0.
No, I tell you what.
You heartless bastard!
I think
he's going to end up doing something else. You know?
Do you think?
Do me a scale of how many goals versus how many goals Liverpool score versus how much applause I need to give him at the end, and I might take that deal.
Boy, you'd probably take that. To be honest, Boy, you'd probably like, oh yeah,
8-0.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
Boy, you'd probably take that.
No, I'm with John. Though I don't think he's retired. I think he'll do so. He might probably go away for UEFA.
Was he getting guards of honour then if he's not retiring?
He said he's packing in at the Premier League level.
Yes, he's got his eye on something.
God, he's exhausting, isn't he? does take you back. Just that tiresome. Just go away, Roy.
Yeah, no.
But on the fans thingy, and to sort of finish on a bit of a positive, it's been a season largely without it. You must be so excited to get in there Sunday.
I can't wait, John, because I was saying to James off air, I've not had a lot of luck in the ballots, to be honest, but because I hadn't got in around Christmas time, I felt that I had a good chance for this one. I can't wait to get back in there, to be honest. And, you know, it's great that it means something as well. But even if it didn't, I was looking forward to getting back in. Because when I thought, well, I'll be going the match, you win, sure. There was every chance this wasn't going to mean anything. The fact that there's something riding on it now, you can't wait to get in there. And I think, you know, the players, the manager, every interview they've given, when they've been asked, they've made it quite clear. They've missed us massively. They've missed us absolutely massively. And, you know, all clubs will be the same, but maybe we get a little bit romantic about it, but it does feel a little bit different at times. And I think, you know, they bounce off us, we bounce off them. And I think, you know, if anything's going to give you confidence as well as kind of how the lads are playing, is the fact that there are 10,000 and they're screaming for it and getting behind them and maybe putting a little bit of pressure on the referee at times when it's needed. So I can't wait to be back in there, mate. Honestly, it's been a long, long time. I think the last time I was inside the ground was that Atletico Madrid game, which just feels like an eternity ago. So to have the opportunity to get back in and make a difference, and that's been a thing, John. You know, you kind of at home, and when you used to go in the game, you feel like you can make a difference by being there. You feel like you being there helps, and you're playing your part, and you can maybe help them get over the line. Being so far away from it all and watching it by yourself, it's felt like you can't make any difference at all, because you can't. You're not playing a part in it, and it has felt so distant. So the opportunity, not just to go to the match, by the way, but just to see people before the game, go for the pints, have a chat about the game, do stuff afterwards as well. It's another little step near its normality, so absolutely can't wait for it.
Ian makes a good point there, Andy, and I know you're going on Sunday as well. And, you know, it's actually been hard us when the team's been struggling, and so many people wanted to laugh at us last season. We're saying, oh, you know, you've won the league, you're not in the ground to celebrate it. I didn't mind that too much. I quite enjoyed watching it on the telly with the trophy parade. I thought it was a laugh. And, you know, I'd seen that team win so many times that season, I didn't really feel like I'm missing out. Where it's been really hard for me and for, I know, a lot of Liverpool fans is when they kept losing those home games, and you're like, I want to be in there, you know, trying to make a difference, as Ian said, trying to do my bit. And you just felt so helpless, you know, in a funny sort of way. I found it harder when we were struggling than when we were doing well, not to be there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I think we've shared a couple of those occasions because we've been working the games and stuff like that. And it is frustrating because you feel like you're just howling at the moon, and look, whether us in the stands does have an effect or not. And Jürgen said it on various occasions that it does. Just to be there and also feel a little bit of responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Which sounds mad, and I don't know whether I'm articulating that well, but sometimes you feel like, you know, if Liverpool, if there's been a tight game and the crowd have been on it and they've got something, it gives you that extra little buzz. Whereas, and when you lose, you come away, you can have a little moan about it and whatever. And just having that there and just feeling with them. And I think as well, what's been telling is the way the players have celebrated when crowds have been, got mentioned earlier in the week, when Firmino scored against Spurs. And the first thing he done was run towards where the crowd was.
Yeah, even though he scored at the Anfield, then he was running to the crowd.
And in just a weird season of disconnects, you know, yet again, Liverpool find themselves in a position where the last game matters. There's a prize at the end of it. And we've got people in the stadium, so let's make the absolute most of it.
Yeah, let's make the most of it. Do you still know all the words? Have you had a practice?
Scouser Tommy's long, you know.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, I thought you were talking about the Hodgson song then.
No, that's just one way Hodgson, yeah. Isn't it? We all know that. Yeah. But, you know, just both of you just have a little practice in front of the mirror, Saturday night, just to make sure you're all.
I'll
you
have
know.
An extra long shower Sunday morning.
Jesus.
Definitely warm those vocal cords up first, mind
exactly,
you.
Exactly. You don't want to pull a muscle early on. We're all out of practice. Hope you've enjoyed that. There'll be loads going on over the weekend, including hopefully a really special interview coming up over the next couple of days on the Anfield Wrap as well.
Another one?
Yes, another one. Not just Jürgen Klopp last week, which I hope everyone has listened to, which Neil did a great job on, but hopefully another really nice one over the next couple of days as well. So look out for that on Tour Player, audio and video it'll be. And obviously Team Talk, which straight after the press conference tomorrow, and loads of great stuff after the weekend, pre and post-match. I'm just hoping that post-match stuff is as lively as I want it to be at Anfield. We're not quite in the stadium, but in L4 at least we're going to be doing all that, so can't wait. So great time to subscribe to the Anfield Wrap if you don't, but in the meantime, thanks a lot to James, to Ian, to Andy, our guests in the middle segments as well, and to you guys for listening. Up the Reds, one more win. Sports Social Podcast Network.